It is a great commitment to you show to the church and to the community. Thank you for coming and even in the snow. To be honest, in this morning I did not drive because I cannot drive in this snow. So my husband dropped me off. And then I felt left out whenever snow is in town because I feel like I am not part of the community because of the snow. But however, whenever I came to church, I felt like I'm a part of the community because of your presence. Let's talk about the community and the presence in together. Your friend plans for the party. And the one of the richest person in your circle bought the beach house, fully winterized house. And then all the friends in Chicago can gather up in that house for the party and friendship and enjoy the beauty of the beach house. And yet, there is one thing is shortcoming here. It was a grand party, and yet its only shortcoming was that you are not invited. Felt left out. Felt left behind. It seems like everyone in your life has everything. Your friend has everything. Graduate from high school, graduate from college. Some of your friends graduate from graduate school too. And then getting married, establishing a career, having kids, having grandkids, buying a house, and they're traveling and vacationing here and there. Looks like they have everything, and yet you do not. Felt left behind. At the death of a loved one, felt left behind. We come to the time in church year when we talked about the mountaintop experience today, transfiguration of Jesus Christ. At this experience, God did not neglect those people who felt left behind. God thought of those people who felt left behind. Jesus took the three disciples to the high mountain, and he transfigured to reveal his true self. He is changed. And then two figures appeared with him, Moses and Elijah. They speak to each other. It is an amazing grandeur experience. Peter even wants to build the three places to stay there to worship and experience and keep experiencing the mountaintop experience with others. Jesus, Moses, and Elijah at the top of the mountain. Then the voice comes out of the cloud and says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." God spoke to these disciples, telling them once again that Jesus was his beloved son. These words are similar to the words spoken at Jesus' baptism. In Mark chapter 1 verse 11 said, "And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" Notice that in the words on the mountain, God added one of the requests of the people of Jesus' disciple, saying, listen to him. Not just Jesus is the Son of God and Son of Man, but you better to listen to him. When his identification was revealed at the baptism, Jesus was welcomed. And he continued his ministry from the baptism moment, from the moment on. And yet, when they went up to the mountain for the experience, the transfiguration of Jesus, that moment just before Jesus walked the passion journey towards the Jerusalem, God is saying that this boy, this man, Jesus, is not just the Son of God and Son of Man. He has words for you to listen. So listen. It's almost like I'm hearing the mother saying, listen to me. Do you hear the mother's voice, caring voice in here? Jesus, he has good words for us to listen, and yet we are not listening. Like our mother is keep saying to us, listen, son. Listen, daughter. God is telling us, disciples of Jesus Christ, listen, Jesus. listen to Jesus. Then it was all finished, all the amazing experience. Jesus told the disciples and said, do not tell anyone about the mountaintop experience and go back down the mountain. There was no time to stay there to worship as Peter wanted. There was no time to stay isolated from the cares of the world below. They had to go back down the mountain. It is a command Jesus is saying to the disciples who just had a mountaintop experience. Do not stay there. Do not stay in that experience. Get out. Go down the mountain where the needs are. The disciple wanted this experience to last by staying on top of the mountain, away from the cares of the world, away from the need of the world, away from all, so they can have their own religious experience like the campers. The favorite part of the camping for the most of the campers, I was told, is sitting by the campfire late into the evening. It's a circle of light provides a wonderful setting for quiet conversation and warm fellowship. Most of the other campers have their own fires too. They sit and have a quiet conversation, warm fellowship in their own private circle of light. Rarely do the campers leave their circle of light and venture out into the darkness. And almost never do they venture from their own circle of light to invade another circle. Each camping ground is content in its own circle of light, safe from the darkness and secluded from the outsider in its own excluded fellowship. Some of you might wonder why we are having a different order of service starting today. Why we are not making an announcement the way we used to make it an announcement. Right after the welcoming, just before passing the peace. And some people feel that it is too much of change of the order of worship. And some people say that it might not. Once a month, the worship team of the church do get together to evaluate the worship service, whether we are doing the right things or not, it is relevant or not, how spiritual it is to meet the mission and vision of the church. Last meeting and at the worship team, we discussed about the announcing, making an announcement moment. We felt that it is not really weave into the spirit of worship we try to provide in the community of faith in this church. So how we were questioned, what is the best way to make it a worship more spiritual and more meaningful instead of having administrative announcements, advertisements? Because worship is for the Lord and for us to partake in the opportunity of the gospel ministry. So we tweaked a little bit how to make it an announcement making to be part of the worship and the flow of the service. So we weaved into the worship service in the flow. And since we are trying for the first time in here in this worship at this moment today, some of you feel that awkward because we never done it before. And yet, I am encouraging you to try the new way of doing the worship service for the sake of those people who are left out from the church, who are seeking authentic community to connect themselves with the Lord. This is not written on the stone yet. And we are trying, and your feedback is very welcome to the worship team to enhance the worship ministry in this congregation. Disciples wanted to stay where they are. And they wanted to stay, and so within a ring of a fire, in their own light tube. They did not want to venture out into the darkness, like a common person, so like you and I. Just where we are is safe enough. If it is not broken, don't fix it, don't change it. That is the mentality we have. If it is not for you, it is for me. Unless it is broken, I try not to fix it. But is it that God is saying that not for you, but for the sake of those people who left out in the kingdom of God? You try to enlarge the circle and embrace other people and think of those people who are not with us right now. And the disciple wants to remain safe on the top of the mountain. But Jesus said, no. We wanted to stay where we are with our own comforting people, comforting way of doing church, comforting way of being church to each other, without much thought of the other people who are not here yet, who are visiting us. Jesus said, no. Don't stay in their in our complacent moments. Just kick out of it. Try it a little bit differently. And the disciple must go down to the mountain to open up their circle of light to those who were left behind in the valley at the foot of the mountain. Jesus said no to stay on the top of the mountain. No to stay in our comfort zone and our preferred place for our own sake. We must go back down. That is the command that we receive at the mountaintop experience through the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. We must go down and go out and continue Jesus' ministry. We must go down and encounter all the brokenness of this world and bring the measure of the grace to it. We must go. Jesus is saying this. Remember those 9 disciples who were left behind at the foot of the mountain. We know that Jesus had 12 close disciples, but only 3 disciples went up to the mountain with Jesus. Those disciples, when they had a mountaintop experience, they had no thought of those 9 disciples left behind. But Jesus is reminding them, there are people we needed to share. We needed to go down. Be with them. And then remember those who are broken, hungry, thirsty, and lonely. Those who are left behind in the world. We must go down in the valley in the world for those who are left behind so they can see the trace of God's grace through us, disciples. Jesus wanted the disciples to have a faith that was not just mountain faith, but a faith that endured the mountains. Sometimes, the greatest faith is not the mount-moving kind of a faith at all. Sometimes, the greatest test of a faith comes when you speak to the mountain and it does not move. That is when God may speak to you and say, I am not going to move this mountain, but I will give you the strength to climb it up. That is a message that we are getting from this mountaintop experience of Jesus and disciple we read it in this morning. We can endure the hardship in life because of the mountaintop experience and the presence of God. Closing the story of this story for this message, I would like to share is this. There was a man whose age is 89, and his wife was 86. They had lived as a husband and wife for 65 years. Every day, he would get up, have a breakfast, and hobbled down to the bus stop, a book in his hand. He was headed for the nursing home, where his wife had been for 4 years. He had not wanted to put her there. But when he had a heart attack, he was forced into having her placed in a care facility. She was suffering from Alzheimer's and was deteriorating very quickly. He stepped off the bus and walked the two blocks to the nursing home where his wife was. I wonder how she is today, were his thought as he pushed the security button together. I wonder if she will know me. She didn't yesterday. A lump welled up in his throat as he recalled the many happy times he had shared with his wife. Now she rarely recognized him. She sat limp in her chair, her eyes dulled and distant. When he approached her to give her the usual kiss, she recoiled, trying to push him away. "Come on, my little doll," he would say, taking her hand and squeezing in beside her on the love seat. "I have brought you your favorite book. What story should I read for you today?" He watched as her eyes flickered. She moved her hand to touch the children's Bible storybook he had brought with him. He turned the pages until she placed her hand on a picture. She smiled, and he smiled, taking her hand again. He had read her story for 4 days in a row, but he didn't mind. He started reading. "I am the Good Shepherd," the story began. It was the story of the little lost lamb that the Good Shepherd left the flock for in order to rescue the wandering lamb. He finished the story, and the Good Shepherd carried the lamb back to the flock, wrapped its injured lamb with a cloth torn from his garment, and laid it beside him as he continued the night watching the flock. He saw her wiping a tear from her eyes. That was enough for him. He kissed her wrinkled face, which to him was still beautiful, and led her to her bed. She fussed a little, but he lay down beside her. Soon they were both asleep. 2 hours later, he sat up, rubbed the sleep from his eyes, and kissed his wife goodbye, promising, "I will see you again tomorrow, my little doll." Left behind, but not without us.